Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. The outgoing Biden administration still making some headlines as it's now in its final weeks. We're going to talk about that. Scott, good to have you here.
It's great to be back with you, Loman. Thank you.
President Joe Biden took his presumably last foreign trip to Angola, of all places. It, of course, made some headlines for various reasons. Your thoughts on the president's last foreign journey?
For starters, obviously, Joe Biden, when he came into the White House, had made a lot of promises about devoting American resources to Africa. And a lot of people felt like he fell short on those promises, especially our friends over there in Africa. So Biden and his team had planned to go to Angola earlier this fall before the election, but the trip was postponed after those devastating hurricanes pummeled the southeast. So this week, Biden went to Angola, met with a bunch of their leaders throughout the region of Africa. And meanwhile, he obviously had a lot of activity going on here in the United States. Right before he took off, he broke his commitment to the American people by issuing a pardon of his son, Hunter Biden. And this pardon is quite unique because it's a full and unconditional pardon that applies to any crimes Hunter Biden might have committed between January 1st, 2014 and December 1st, 2024. But what he was pardoned for, obviously he had gun charges that were felonies and tax evasion. He was scheduled to be sentenced for the gun convictions on December 12th and the tax evasion charges on December 16th. So that was sort of the impetus of Joe Biden issuing the pardons before he took off for Africa. But, you know, obviously there were members of both sides of the aisle that say that they took President Biden at his word when he repeatedly said during the presidential campaign that he would not issue a pardon for his son. Obviously, there can be political consequences historically for pardons being issued. And so we've seen that before when President Ford issued a pardon to Richard Nixon many, many years ago. And right now, you've also got a lot of rumors that are buzzing all throughout Washington, D.C., that President Biden is going to issue preemptive pardons for a handful of individuals, including Liz Cheney and America's former favorite son, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who obviously lied to the American people throughout the course of the COVID pandemic.
Taking a look at these preemptive pardons, can you recall, and neither one of us, of course, are constitutional attorneys, but I can never recall a preemptive pardon having been issued to anybody. Would that be breaking new ground here historically?
Obviously, those individuals haven't been charged with a crime, and Richard Nixon, I guess, wasn't charged with a crime either. So the equation that people have used in the media this week is that it is sort of akin to what Gerald Ford did, you know, 50 years ago. But I think it is setting a terrible precedent. And, you know, we don't even know what crimes Liz Cheney and Fauci would be charged with. Obviously, Cheney was on the J6 committee, a special committee of Congress that may have interfered and done witness tampering. I think that's most likely what her charges would be if she was investigated by the Trump administration and members of Congress. However, you know, the long list of crimes that Dr. Fauci might have committed, especially related to perjury, that's something that still needs to be unearthed. The same thing with Hunter Biden's pardon. Now that he's been pardoned, it doesn't prevent him from coming to Congress, being compelled to come under a subpoena, and being forced to testify under oath. And he was not pardoned for future perjury, so he would have to tell the truth, even though he couldn't be convicted of a crime that he might admit to during a hearing. And the big issue here is that you cannot take the Fifth Amendment for a crime that you can't be prosecuted for underneath double jeopardy. And what happened with the Biden family, 10% for the big guy, and really, you know, Hunter being the bag man for Joe Biden, it's something I think that members of Congress are going to be very, very interested in unearthing in the coming months in early 2025 as we sort of get our feet underneath us and begin to investigate the Biden family.
Does all of this, Scott, knock the moral high ground out from under Democrats if, say, hypothetically, President Trump wants to either pardon or perhaps commute the sentences of, say, the January 6th protesters? Is the left really going to be able to howl all that much about that?
Well, listen, I think that those two instances are incredibly different. Number one, Donald Trump isn't related to anybody that was convicted of a crime during January 6th. And Hunter Biden, with his conviction on tax evasion and gun charges, that's a different instance because he's the son of the United States president who's currently serving. And President Trump views the January 6th prisoners as political prisoners that were potentially entrapped by members of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Obviously, Kash Patel has been nominated by President Trump to be the director at the FBI. I think that you'll see information come to light on exactly how many FBI agents were undercover within the January 6th crowd, how many were at the Capitol, how many of them went inside. That's something that the current director of the FBI has been unwilling to disclose to the American public. And it's one of the good things about having unified Republican control. We are going to unearth information that reveals the truth to the American people, and we do deserve the truth in our system of justice. Obviously, when you have individuals that are committing violent crimes against our law enforcement community and destructing property, that's going to be, I think, something that doesn't get fully pardoned. However, there's a lot of people that did get convicted from the January 6th incident that were, walking through the Capitol, where doors were actually opened to them, and they, sort of were naively committing, trespassing or whatever they were convicted of.
We have been talking with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C. We're very, very excited about the opportunities in front of us with 2025. If anybody wants to check us out and learn more about our mission of economic opportunity, liberty, and freedom, check us out at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, as always, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.